Well, what a wonderful opportunity to get a chance to speak with you on the Lord's Day. This congregation means a lot to myself and our family. At a very young age, my wife and I first got married. We moved to Florida, and the Christian men and women of this congregation were a blessing to us, and always appreciate the opportunity to come back to this congregation and speak for you or just be part of service. Wonderful group of Christians here in Central Florida, and it's always great. It's been about almost 20 years now, and congregation's got more people in it today than I believe it had 20 years ago when we came. I just can't remember. I remember vividly, I'm not sure how many people in the congregation know Brother Larry Pate, but I remember Brother Larry Pate asking me to do the closing prayer, and I was a young man in my mid-20s, and I was scared to death. And it was just he gave me some ownership of it as a Christian and to be part of the congregation. And I remember, you know, memorizing what I was going to say in the closing prayer, and I was given a lot of strength by a 13-year-old boy at that time who was also a Christian. He's sitting back there with his daughter, and got to listen to him give the main prayer and the middle prayer, and was just amazed. I was like, wow, if this is the strength of the Christians in this congregation, my wife and I are going to love being here. So definitely appreciate the opportunity to speak for you this morning. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else but in the Lord's house this morning. Wonderful opportunity for us on the first day of the week to remember God's Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So hopefully our minds are all fixed on that. Thank you for the prayer. Thank you for the second song, the story of talking about Stephen. Think he was a follower of Jesus Christ with a strong conscience. And we're going to talk about a strong Christian conscience today. And, you know, that's going to be kind of the direction of my lesson. Just give you a little bit of background. I'm a college coach that gets to travel all over the nation, so I get to see a lot of congregations. And I get to work with 18 to 22-year-olds quite often. And all the time. I have younger ones than that now. But I also get to work with people that mentor 18 to 22-year-olds a lot. And so I've given a lot of thought to this lesson, and I provided it last Lord's Day back in Wichita Falls, Texas. So hopefully I present it a little bit better this time. But I'm going to talk about a strong Christian conscience. There are many verses from God's word that people inside or outside the church find useful, to like Matthew chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, the blind leading the blind, or John chapter 8 and verse 7, whoever has not sinned, throw the first stone, or Exodus chapter 21 and verse 24, an eye for an eye, or 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, the love of money is the root of all evil. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 24, wash your hands of a matter. And finally, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 6, what God has joined together, let no man separate. So these are all verses that inside and outside of the church people use or have used in the past. Unfortunately, the world is getting farther and farther away from letting God's word resonate on its conscience. From a personal experience, worked with a young man just recently, and he's been with me for a while, and on the surface, he's a tremendous student, a tremendous athlete, tremendous person, community service, leader, really struggling in his life, had made some decisions. I don't want to go too much in detail of his personal life, but had made some decisions that were contrary to the Word of God. And I started thinking about that, and I was like, obviously, we're working with him, and if you all know my wife, Amy, she's got a love for all of, she's a nurse, but she also helps me with our student athletes, which is fantastic, and she sat down with him as well and visited with him. But what I started recognizing is that the world kind of has three groups of conscience now. There's this acceptable, unfortunately acceptable, basically no conscience. Like you can just run through stuff on your iPhone and just click through it and act like it doesn't bother you and just keep going. And that's kind of become, at least in our part of the world and from what I've seen from other parts of the world, because I coach people from all over the world, it's kind of become socially acceptable. And then you have a young man like I was talking about who was brought up with a faith, believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and now he's struggling because he's making some decisions in his life that are contrary to God's word. And the world thinks he's got a really big problem. Like, that shouldn't bother him. And it's because his conscience is kind of sort of there. It's sort of there. And then, hopefully, many of you, and by the way, I want to welcome all the guests from all over. I think I've met people from Louisville, Kentucky, and from North Florida. So thank you all for all being here today. But many of you, the reason why I say that is many of you have probably been brought up in the church. And if you haven't, it's a blessing. I was not. I was not brought up in the church. I went to a church on a bus and learned how to memorize Bible verses and so forth. But I would say I would have been in this young man's situation, and I actually may have been. But the way the world is set up now, you know, clinical diagnosis and a lot of things going on, people really worry about him. Not because he has no conscience, but because he has sort of a conscience. We're very fortunate. Those of us that are here today, we get the opportunity to have a strong Christian conscience. The young people that are here today, and I know the prayer talked about being available for young people, it is an absolute blessing for you to be here today. I did not have the same blessings when I was your age, and the word spoken in spirit and truth. But it's a strong Christian conscience, and we're going to talk about that, kind of why we should have a strong Christian conscience and what we are to do with that. As Christians that attend services regularly and get to hear God's word spoken, we have the benefit of having God's word become part of our conscience. So what is a Christian's conscience, and how do we embrace it? First off, the definition of conscience is the sense of a moral goodness or blameworthiness of one's own conduct, intentions, or character, together with a feeling of obligation to do right or be good. A Christian's conscience comes from a belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you study the Gospels, Jesus Christ, quite an example here on earth. The best example. So we start off with that. And he died for our sins so that we have an opportunity at everlasting life, as well as an understanding of what God wants us to do and not to do. God's word should be unchanged, and that should weigh on our Christian conscience. And there's several verses that talk about the word not being unchanged. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, talks about not changing the word. Revelations talks about what happens when you change the word, or change the word of God, take to or add to. Revelations chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. Deuteronomy, the one that I'm going to read for you, chapter 12 and verse 32. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. Let's look at another text in the book of Revelations. The beginning of this text really states that the reward for having a strong Christian conscience. So it's Revelation. Verse 7 and 8. And I apologize for not writing that higher. Revelation chapter 21, verse 7 and 8. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So the first part of this talks about the reward. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And the remainder of this verse states the importance of us as Christians being involved, using our Christian conscience to help others. Because I'm sure some of us, or all of us in this room, come in contact, if not daily, with someone that's committing the sins listed below in this verse, in verse 8. We are all aware of this as well, that if we, as a strong, with having a strong Christian conscience, we're aware of this. If we do not impact the environment that we're in, many will suffer the second death as listed in the text. So stepping back into the world, we as Christians will have a stronger conscience than all we come in contact with. We must listen to our conscience. And here's what our conscience tells us. And we need to trust this. And I recently spoke to the young people in the congregation, and there's several young people here today. Many of those were teenagers, high school, college students, and young adults, and just talked about trusting their conscience. Very, very important that you trust your conscience, because it's going to be contrary to what the world does, and you need to stick with it. And first off, our conscience tells us to have an understanding of eternity. It's either spent in heaven or hell, as we read in Revelation chapter 21, verse 7 and 8, but also Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. And in verse 14, but narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So think of the population of Orlando. I saw all the cars driving everywhere this morning. Think how many people are in here right now. Narrow. It's a narrow gate. And it's difficult. And the way is difficult, which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So we have to have an understanding of that. We have to have an understanding that eternity is spent in either heaven or hell. Number two, respect righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. So the main part of that is fear God. Number three, as we have an understanding of eternity, we respect righteousness, we are now going to turn away from sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And also, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing the rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The important part of that text is choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Number four, first we have an understanding of eternity, we respect righteousness, we turn away from sin, we understand adversity will come. That's part of having a strong Christian conscience. You have to have understanding that in your life, in your worldly life, working, whether that's with relatives, friends, co-workers, people in a grocery store, driving down the road, schoolmates, adversity will come. Revelations chapter 21, verse 7 and 8, the one I read earlier. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Just verse 7, sorry. And also going back to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. Adversity will come, choosing rather to suffer affliction, and speaking of Moses. Finally, we have to lead a righteous life. So these are the five parts to having a strong conscience. An understanding of, and you gotta buy into this as a Christian, to have a strong Christian conscience. You gotta believe, and it's not talked about a whole lot. Hell's not talked about a whole lot here on earth. But you have to have an understanding of eternity, heaven and hell. You have to respect righteousness, God. Turn away from sin. Understand adversity will come in your life. constantly. I know those are out in the workforce, or those are, you know, just in general, we're faced with adversity daily, and we need to overcome that as Christians. But we need to finally lead a righteous life. To have a strong Christian conscience, we have to lead a righteous life. And we'll go into that a little bit more in a second. But the verses I picked out was 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God, your body, and in your spirit, which are God's. And also Matthew 6 and verse 22 and verse 23. For the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that? If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So again, we need to lead a righteous life. So following these five areas will lead you to having a strong Christian conscience. So now that we have a strong Christian conscience, we listen to that strong Christian conscience, what's the next step for us as Christians? We know it's okay to have a strong Christian conscience. We will decide to get involved with the souls of others. Will we decide to get involved with the souls of others? And I just went through a bystander awareness thing that we have to, all of our student athletes have to take part in. Probably some of you in your jobs have had to take part in some bystander awareness. Bystander awareness basically means you're aware of a situation and you know how to help a situation potentially when something bad happens. Now, the world kind of thinks of something bad happening as physically, emotionally, or mentally. I look at bystander awareness a little bit more than that, a little bit deeper. It's somebody else's soul. When you walk by somebody, it's their soul you're walking by. The potential to save somebody's soul as a Christian. I think the early Christians, I know that Jesus and the apostles and the early Christians, that's the way they looked at things. You know, when Paul went into Rome, that's how he looked at things. An opportunity to save people's souls that needed their souls saved. So bystander awareness as a Christian. Are we aware of the people we walk by daily? Do we want to be aware of people daily? So that goes back. Are we lazy about it? Are we aware of it and just don't care enough? Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, it reads, not lagging, diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. We're going to also talk about what was found in this text in Revelation chapter 8, the word coward. So we talk about a lot of the other sins. I don't hear the word coward talked a lot about, but coward to me is somebody that has an opportunity to show strength in an area that they are knowledgeable about, they believe in, and they choose not to. They choose to step away from that. First thing is, are we lazy, i.e. not caring, or will we be a coward concerning our commitment as a Christian for lost souls? Once again, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Verse 8 reads, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So the first one that's listed is cowardly. The definition of coward is one who shows disgraceful fear or timid. The opposite of coward is courage. So are we courageous as Christians? Do we have a strong conscience? Are we willing to use it? Are those five things part of our life? And then are we willing to use it and show courage? So stepping back into the world, our Christian conscience should tell us to be in the present. That means not head down with our iPhone. We're all busy these days. Are we looking up? Are we trying to impact the world? And do we take advantage? Because there are daily opportunities. We all know if we really search it out, we're very conscious of what's going on. With a strong Christian conscience, we have opportunities daily. We should, and with a strong Christian conscience, show our love for all others. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, read that verse earlier. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And this is one that kind of talks a little bit more about going into the world, not talking about as much working with Christians, Christians working with Christians, is Luke chapter 6, verses 35 through 37. It reads, Luke chapter 6, verses 35 through 37. "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." So first off, to use our Christian conscience, we have to show love for all others. We've got to be aware of our environment. Secondly, we've got to be fearless in spreading the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled." You are blessed. And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 10, 8 through 10. "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body." So, to use your strong Christian conscience, you need to show a love for all others, be fearless when spreading the word, and now we have to help provide a conscience for the lost by how we live our own lives. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. "You are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill, cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So we need to make sure that people know we're Christians so we can help provide a Christian conscience for them, or a strong Christian conscience to them. Matthew chapter 28, same book, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations," highlighting all the nations, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things," as we've talked about earlier, "that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. And once again, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, "Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." And that's a really strong verse. Really talks about how to lead by example as a Christian. So let me read that one again. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. "Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." So in closing, we have a responsibility as Christians to listen to our conscience. If you don't have a strong Christian conscience, I'd be happy to give you those 5 steps after we leave, but one of the most important things is when you're in services that you are listening to the Word of God spoken, that you're going back and checking the Word of God and making sure it's all there, that you're aware of it. So that you regularly attend services, not just on the Lord's Day morning, but you make it a practice to regularly attend services. We have a responsibility as Christians to listen to our conscience and act upon it concerning our souls and keep our heads up, our ears open, and our hearts tender for the souls of the lost. This is our lesson this morning. No service would be complete without extending the gospel invitation. I do not know everybody here, so we may have someone here today that's not a Christian. It's five easy steps that you have to just have conviction for and know. Hear the word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. You've had an opportunity this morning to hear the word of God. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Repent of your sins, Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. And finally, but just as importantly, be baptized for the remission of your sins, Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Also at this time, we have an opportunity that if anybody has sinned of a public nature, it speaks about this in the book of James, chapter 5 and verse 16. And we allow this opportunity as well. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If there is one of any either case, please come forward as we stand and sing.